Good evening, folks. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. And in a few moments, I'll be introducing you to a very special lady and giving you two phone numbers, one for worldwide call-ins and one for United States and Canada in just a minute. But first, welcome, Catavino from New York. How are you?
Wonderful. Getting used to this heat. Finally, it's breaking, and all is good.
And all
How are
is
you
good.
Doing, honey?
She's actually from Brooklyn, so, you know, we have to give credit where Brooklyn is
Absolutely.
Due here. I have to tell you folks that Kramer Wetzel was supposed to be on with us this evening, our astrology buddy, but there was a death in his family. So Kat has graciously stepped up, and we're going to talk about transitions tonight. We're going to talk about changes and growth, evolutions, inspired, of course, by Kramer's loss. But Kat's been through a lot of that over the last, 10 years or so?
Yeah,
so I thought of her to bring in all of that energy. This is Elaine Ireland, Going Global for Spirit, and we are on BBSRadio.com. Welcome, Catavino. How are you this evening?
I'm good, and always a pleasure to work with you, Elaine. And, yes, it's very pertinent, especially this evening. I did a party in Staten Island. And the four women I was with all had major transitional issues in their lives and were ready to make those changes, which is always so wonderful to see someone who's ready to embrace change in order to be happy and healthy.
Ooh, you just said something very important, in order to be happy and healthy. I agree with you. We have to go through change. That's part of our human evolution. It's part of our spiritual evolution, which I'm always excited about, but at the same time, when we lose someone we love, there's an energy that of course we can't replace on a daily basis. Of course, that energy is always there with us.
Never leave. Never
leave. Always in our heart. Always in our energy. But at the same time, when we do go through transitions, whether it's moving like I've recently done, or changing jobs, which we've all done in our lifetimes. I would imagine everybody that's listening to us has had more than one job or on more than one level of a job. And it's always exciting and yet sad at the same time. Don't you think?
Well, any change is a release. So therefore, there's literally a period of mourning. And a lot of us don't allow that period of mourning. And that's why the transition, for many, it's more difficult than it has to be. In general, as you well know, Elaine, most of us, if not all, really hate change. We get in our comfort zone and we want to stay there. So when you made the comment that we need to or we want to or we have to, it's a choice. You and I have worked with many, many clients who literally say they want change and they want to be happy and healthy and all that good stuff. But they're not really willing to put into what's necessary to let go and make change. And it's more about changing not just the way we look at life, but the way we approach our environment. You throw the bowling ball the same way down the lane, you're going to knock the same number of pins down. It's a matter of moving over, left or right, back or forth, and changing that outcome.
How do you let go? How do you let go, let's say, of an old job that you absolutely adored and the company either let you go for whatever reason or closed? How do you let go? We hear that term all the time, let go of that. Walk away. Let go. How do we let go of relationships that are difficult for us? Oh, if you could tell us that and write a book about it, you'd be a billionaire in a month. That term, let go, is so tricky. For most of us, we, instead of, you know, what does let go mean to you? Does it mean that you just bury it under a pillow?
No.
Does it mean that you just say, okay, I'm done, I'm over, and walk away without handling it? Now, I'm getting into the psychology of it, I suppose, but it's all wrapped around a spiritual bent and how we learn what we take away from that experience. So talk about letting go.
Well, the first thing people don't understand that the reason it's so difficult to let go is that very often, if not always, there is some degree of karmic connection. So you're not just talking about someone being in your life, company, companionship, difficulty, but also that there is a literal electrical energy bond that occurs. And it's literally having to pull that plug out of the wall. And when we don't recognize that it is that deep, we try to intellectualize. And intellectualizing is the burying. We have to address it on all levels. And we have to understand that there's a time and a place. Too many of us have been taught or conditioned to believe that states are permanent, whether it be marriage, relationships. We never want to let go because we found ourselves someplace and we know it's painful because that learning and growth has a price on it. But we have to acknowledge the fact that the lessons that were taken and the benefits of that relationship just need to be listed. I mean, it's that start that gets us on the right foot, is to step back intellectually first and say, where's the positive? What did I get? What did I give? Then work it down into the heart. How did I feel? How did it make me feel? How did it hurt me, help me, heal me? And the rest is time. Because on the soul level, it's not something unless we're really, you know, living in a monastery where we're going to chant and work on a very deep spiritual level. We're not going to be able to just walk away from that so quickly. But if we work diligently on a conscious level, then the rest of the healing comes with time. You don't bury, you don't deny, and you don't live an illusion that, oh, yeah, they're going to come back, and, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this job in 6 months, and you don't live an illusion. It's about taking responsibility for the interaction and accepting it as a loss, recognizing it, mourning it, and then celebrating it.
With catching our breath right now, let me give you those two phone numbers. Worldwide, if you live anywhere in the world except the United States and Canada, you will call 877-489-6350. If you live in the United States or Canada, you will call 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. Canada, United States. 1-888-228-4494. So, keeping in mind that Kat is a practicing psychic and a very good one, I might add.
Thank you.
Your calls for information about our subject or to add your stories, by all means. But if you have a psychic question for Kat, please do call in. We would love to have your company tonight. We're talking about transitions as we move through life, and maybe we'll give you some helpful hints about how to do that and make it a little easier on your heart and your head and your spirit. Of course, since this is going global for spirit, I lean towards talking about spirit. So, okay, when you were doing your growth, when you started out and you started, no, let me rephrase that. When you began to see and understand that you had a talent that you were being directed to use with the public, you began a transitional stage. And I don't think that people understand as they go through their life growing psychically and mature as human beings, I don't think they realize that they have the option of growing psychically on purpose and growing and being richer spiritually on purpose. You embraced that, and you embraced it through an illness, came out of it, started working on it. But as you started your transition, what was your first memory of knowing that you had all of the control, and if you were going to grow, you had to do something?
Well, interestingly enough, you know, as you know, Elaine, my gift did come through serious illness and surgery. My gifts were basically, I was hit by a 2x4. So the idea is that I came out of it very quickly in terms of what was given to me. It was literally dumped in my lap. Excuse me. And that part wasn't so difficult, believe it or not, learning to work with the voices. I think what the most difficult part for me, which was recent, and I guess I'm doing this almost 10 years now, was to decide to give up a career that has taken care of me for 35 years in construction and really bite the bullet and say, you know what, it's time for me to put my faith in God and my gifts and do this full time. And that I'm going through right now, as you well know, and it's difficult. But what's interesting is when I made that decision not 2 weeks ago, the phone hasn't stopped ringing, the work is coming in, people are stepping up to the plate to help. What people need to have more faith in is the fact that within a very short period of time, depending on the degree of their commitment to that transitional change, you will be given, if it's the right choice, very easily with very little work. You may have to maintain it, but the idea is that when you know it's right to do that change, the change is the difficult part, not the success, in terms once you've made that choice. So the transitions have always been, and one thing you neglected to mention was the fact that one of the biggest transitions during the past 10 years was when I went from purely psychic gifts in terms of hearing, seeing, and feeling, and was plunged into another transition, which was the mediumship. And I don't care how long you've been doing this, and you can agree with me, or I know you'll agree, Elaine, no matter how long you're doing this, talking to dead people is still a tough thing. You know?
Yeah.
And when they start tapping you on the shoulder, and they're talking in your ear, and you can see them, and they're there, it's an interesting thing to be a part of. Most of the work I did this evening was mediumship. And I'm noticing that more and more people need that closure. So they're more accepting of the fact that you can make peace, both for the person who passed their major transition and your transition of loss and having to cope from them being there in the physical plane and the next day not. So both the spirit and the living are helping each other, which is an interesting concept, that they're both helping each other deal with each's transitions.
And the living rarely understands that the people that have crossed the veil are with them. Sometimes that even scares them. That realization can scare them.
Well, you know what, as we were raised in a society, you know, in terms of movies and books and stories, that the boogeyman and the ghosts and the evil spirits, and it's a matter of going against basically what's been ingrained in you since you were old enough to watch Casper the Friendly Ghost. And then more often than not, the ghosts were not friendly. So the idea is that we do have a very twisted sense, thanks to Hollywood, of what the spirit realm is all about. There, you know, I am a pretty staunch advocate. This is personal opinion, but I truly feel there is no such thing as, quote-unquote, an evil spirit. There is a restless, unhappy, angry spirit, which is not at peace with their transition and creates havoc.
You know, which is an interesting statement, and I agree with you to a point, but if our spirit, and I do believe this, but this is a personal belief.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect everybody out there to agree. I believe that we live time and time, and our spirit changes bodies. Call it reincarnation.
Oh, I agree with you, Elaine, on that. You know I do.
Right. So we've got a spirit over there, but I also believe that before they ever come back, there's a certain amount of work that's done on a spiritual basis so that spirit can learn from the life they've just lived and possibly be reminded of lives that they've lived before that. So if that's the case, why is a spirit so restless in between lives? Because I've also been taught that once you pass and leave this body, once you pass, everything is revealed to you. There is no such thing as hate. There, you know, everything is fine and glorious and peaceful. So what would give us the restless spirit? See the contradiction there?
Well, not really, because you know, the excuse me, the irony of it was that I did, when you had called me this evening, I had just completed, like I said, several mediumship sessions. And what I'm becoming to understand doing the mediumship work is the fact that part of that transition in the spirit world is they really, that healing and what's being revealed is in partnership with the living. So that's their opportunity at that, like, middle stage of the gray session. It's where they're making peace with the living. They're allowing the living to get on with themselves. They're paying a degree of karmic debt to make, you know, to make amends, to help them heal, to hang around, to make sure they're okay. And once they've done that little bit of quote-unquote, you know, for lack of, you know, better word, and having been raised basically a Catholic, the penance, so to speak, which is the transitional, which goes from our life, the center, kind of restless, getting it straight transition, to perfection, to which then the cycle continues, and they do come back with a new set of requirements for that new life that they've chosen. Because I do believe in the contract concept where a spirit of perfection decides they would like to experience X, Y, and Z, come back and do X, Y, and Z in order to experience that in the human form. And like I said, these are belief systems, believe it or not, that have been given to me by the spirit world and our metaphysical community to a lesser or greater degree does pretty much agree on, that there is this kind of stages and growth. Even when they've passed on, there is a tricky center line that they have to cross over initially through the light and then kind of help lend a helping hand with the living with their transition, but also as the person on earth heals, in essence giving the spirit license to move on. So you've got two transitions going on two different planes. At least that's the way I see it.
I agree with you. I agree with you, absolutely. You do have more than one transition. And it's hard sometimes to say which one is the major one. Is it the person?
I think they're equal. It's like saying a human is greater than a spirit. It's all equal. The impact and the severity and the growth is happening on two planes, basically simultaneously, with the same intensity.
Just walking different paths.
Exactly, and in different form.
Mm-hmm. In a different form. This is Elaine Ireland. You're going global for spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. This is Kat Avino visiting with us tonight about transitions. She is a practicing psychic and medium out of Brooklyn, New York. So if you live in that area, please look her up. Kat, how would they find you?
Well, there's two ways. The easiest and fastest would be on my website, which is katsangeleyes.com, and that's with a K, K-A-T-S. Angel Eyes, all one word, .com. And if that's too a little tricky, you can also do the keyword, you know, Kat Avino or Kat's Angel Eyes, and you will also get to me. On there is my telephone number, and there's also buttons to book readings and contact me. It's a lovely website that was given, worked out with a friend of mine, which is beautiful work. And you're welcome to visit it and give me a call.
Okay, and you can call us here worldwide. That's anywhere except the United States and America. You can call worldwide 877-489-6350. United States and Canada, please call 1-888-228-4494. You mentioned the word mourning a while ago, the M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G,
mm-hmm.
mourning through release.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that, because I do believe that in order for us to go through transitions, we have to go through what some people would call the 7 steps or the 12 steps of mourning, and I don't expect you to know them, but talk about mourning in the sense
well,
of
in general, you have to allow yourself some time to hurt. The hurt's going to catch up with you eventually.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Right. I mean, you can try to bury it and suck the tears in, but sooner or later it's going to bite you know where. And you've got to, the sooner you deal with it and get over it, the better it is. But you need to allow that time, whether it's a week, a month, you know, 100 years. But the idea is that you have to recognize that it's going to hurt. And understand, too, this goes back to karmic experience. You asked for this experience. When you shortchange the process by trying to skip steps, spirit just comes out, comes back at you harder and stronger the next time. So my philosophy is I wish I had known this 30 years ago because I could have saved myself some karmic experience by getting it sooner. Wouldn't we all?
Wouldn't we all?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have to go, you have to allow that period of time because that's part of the process. You shortcut the process, you get to do it again. You really shortcut the process, you get to come back and do it again. So this is really something that needs to be recognized that whether it's a friendship, a job, a marriage, a death, there has to be that ingraining, if you will, almost in our DNA, that we've had this experience, we understand it, and we grew from it. My mom had a wonderful expression where she would say, you need little hurts because it gives you scars on your heart a little bit so you can deal with the big ones.
Ooh.
You know, so...
Nicely put.
It was always something that I really did understand because when you're little, you scrape your knee and it hurts. When you're bigger, God forbid you crack the car up or fall down the stairs, break your arm. So when we had the little hurts, you know, the broken date when we're 16 and the broken marriage when we're 30 or 40, it kind of prepares us. But the sooner we recognize what's really going on here, we can shortcut some of that and bring in more peace and less drama.
You said something a while ago, too, about the intelligence of when we first start going through transitions of any kind, whether it's the loss of a loved one or a move or whatever. There's that the intelligent part of it. And
the intellect.
I'm sorry?
The intellect.
The intellect, right. And I just remembered that the death card itself in the tarot deck, which means transition because there are all kinds of death. The general meaning for that is imaginative intelligence. That's its general meaning. And I've often wondered where that came from and couldn't find any history on why it was described that way. But you put it in a nutshell, that intellect.
Yeah, we try to intellectualize the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's only one step. And we try to rationalize. You see, in the process of rationalizing something, it's an attempt, which never works. It's an attempt to not feel it. You see, if you can make it something tangible and something that you can deal with, whether it's a pack of cigarettes or a bowling ball or a loaf of bread, it's a tangible. These tangibles do not have the same emotional attachment. So when we try to make it very cut and dry and black and white, we think we're going to save ourselves the pain. Well, intellectualizing works for just so long because what happens is other experiences get plopped on and plopped on, and you're so busy trying to rationalize everything away, you don't realize that what's building inside of you is in a degree of remorse, regret, and in some cases almost resentment. So that does the Pandora's box lid cannot stay on forever. And like I
Amen.
Said, spirit keeps using... You know, he starts out by with a 1x1 and a 2x2 and a 4x4. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I use a lot of construction metaphors because I've been in construction my whole life. But the idea is the bigger the more the denial, the bigger the attempt by spirit to hold you to your contract.
To hold you to your contract.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an important way of putting it because that's we do I firmly believe that. Manny, per pure heart. Remember Manny?
Of course.
Sweet Manny.
Yep.
And his Book of Answers, Volume 1. He has just some sentences that he says about transition. One of them is, each moment of every day is a transition whether we perceive it or not. Each moment of every day we change who we are and how we see ourselves and the world around us. because our perceptions create our reality, I think that's a biggie,
mm-hmm.
and we react to that created reality, we shift and change who we are in response. I love that.
And basically, in plain old Brooklynese, the basic concept of what Manny was trying to bring across is, you get what you give.
Ah, the Aquarian card.
Okay, and you basically are responsible for what is manifesting around you. And once you step into the metaphysical world, one of the things that, you know, spirit does slap you side the head is the idea that you do have control over what happens to you. And that is a big shifting of consciousness in terms of recognizing the fact that you do have a degree of control, you are held responsible, and you can't play the blame game anymore. You can't blame God, you can't blame the person through aggravating you, you can't blame your job, you can't drive, you know, blame the traffic, you get, you know, traffic problems. What you're doing then is you're saying, you know what, I'm going to change this. So transitions not only occur within the human being, they occur once that human being starts to project those changes and literally impacts their environment. Now, you know, most of you say, what the hell are you talking about? It's ridiculous. You're still going to get stuck in traffic. I live in Brooklyn, as Elaine pointed out. I manifest parking spots, okay? So the idea is, once you've mastered a parking spot ability in the city of Brooklyn, anything is possible. So you start out small. And believe me, in Brooklyn, the parking spot is not small. So
I've been with her when she did it, folks. I know she does it.
Yeah, you just know there's going to be a spot there. So the idea is that we are literally, I mean, anyone, you know, the popular book, The Secret, well, we've been, Elaine and I and our little community and whatever, we've been living our lives the longest time knowing The Secret. The Secret is the best kept secret that everyone knew about. Because most people manifest every single day. They just don't, they chalk it up to coincidence, luck. They label it everything, once again, dealing in the material world. They're afraid to step out of that material world and recognize the fact that they have this kind of power. Because with power comes responsibility. And I think that's the biggest part of transition. When you are willing to take responsibility for how you impact your life, the people around you, and your environment. Pretty powerful stuff.
It is powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. What Spirit came through him and gives us this. There is but one transition in the multiverse, dear children. It is the transition from not knowing to knowing. It is the transition from not being all that there is to being all that there is. And he capitalized B-E. It is the transition from not enough to all that is. It is the transition from not loving self to being love. Blessings to you. Which I think is that, you know, we've had all these talks now for a while and we've had tons and tons of experiences, and that's it in a nutshell. Regardless of whether it's a death in the family, regardless if it's a move, a job change, a shift in a relationship, business or otherwise, it is all growing to be a better being and to become that love that we can pass on and use in our everyday life. And that sounds very Pollyanna, but it really is simple, isn't it?
It's
if we
very
just
simple.
Let it be.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the old KISS phrase, you know, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
And the idea is, too, that we're not just, you know, making those transitions, like you said, every minute of every day. We do them in lifetimes. We do them all around us and affect everyone around us. And I think that's the other thing, too, is once you do step into that being and knowing, you take away fear. And with taking away fear, you now got World War III going on with the ego, which is trying to protect you.
There's
the protection,
that word, ego.
Exactly. The protection also limits you very often from expanding. And I think, you know, there's a lot more conversation in the last 5 years in terms of metaphysical work and openness. And I think a good substitute for what Manny was saying in that, it's for everybody, for, you know, common jargon, would be awareness. It's a simple concept of paying attention and also trusting. So, you know, I'm hanging on my window in my dining room. I have, there is a time to be and there is a time to do. So we need that time to reflect. You know, like I said, no one has to run out and sign up in a monastery. But even if we took out a few minutes a day to just be more aware of what's going on around us and what's happening around us, we're so busy, we're so wrapped up, that we lose sight of that. And I don't want to hear that you're too busy. I mean, I have not stopped working for the last 24 hours. So, but even during those little moments, you become conscious. You do it consciously until it becomes unconscious. That you start to notice the birds and you start to notice the trees and you start to listen when people talk a little more carefully or take some joy and put the radio a little bit louder and listen to this, you know, the music. It's about, once again, when you love yourself, you allow yourself to enjoy life more. So it's all interconnected. There is no, well, I'll do this or that or that. No, you'll do all of it, and you'll see how it all fits together beautifully.
Taking time, paying attention.
Being aware.
Being aware. There's that responsibility with being aware as well. There's that responsibility. I think some people close themselves off because they feel like they've been gut punched once too many times, and they're not going to give the universe another chance, so they start closing it down. And regardless of what happens in their life, they stay closed, whether it's joyful or not.
Well, I tell my clients all the time, the problem with a wall being put up, it neither lets in joy nor hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just protecting against the bad guys, you're also keeping out the good guys. So what you've done is you've put yourself in almost a place of non-existence. You're existing, but you're not living. You're not loving, you're not caring, you're not feeling. You've numbed yourself. And we see this a lot with addictions, alcoholism, drug abuse. It's the person's temporary desire to just check out. Build the wall, don't let me feel, don't let me think, don't let me do anything. And we all know it's temporary and usually does not solve the problem, it only acerbates it.
Yeah.
So we try to avoid that, you know, if we're trying truly to be happy and healthy. And, you know, Louise Hay, bless her soul, she is the forerunner in terms of mind-body connection. You're not happy, you get sick. No, not because you cut. You know, not because you breathe the bubonic plague one day. You got sick because you run yourself down emotionally, and the body follows suit.
The body runs down emotionally, and the body follows. Or say that again.
The body, you. What you do is your body emotionally is stressed, and the body, physical body, follows suit. So if your thoughts and feelings and emotions are not positive, they become ill, if you will, the body follows suit. The body is going to follow what your heart wants, and your soul is being dictated to. So basically, you're thinking yourself ill.
If you folks out there have not read Louise Hay, does not have an S on the end of it, Louise Hay. She was one of the forerunners of books most recent years.
Mind-Body Connection.
Mind-Body Connection. And her first book that was a major hit, that I have no idea how many times it's been to print, is You Can Heal Yourself. Yeah. And in it was a wonderful little book that you could pull out, and it's a chart, and it will say, like, arthritis, and it will say what your real problem is, and then affirmations about how to maybe say that, make changes so that your arthritis will at least be relieved. But the sleeping prophet, all of a sudden, Edgar Casey, also talks a lot about the mind and the body and the spirit, and as we and transitions and as we go through things, how our body is affected by it, how our physical body is affected.
Well, when I was diagnosed with lupus, I had Louise Hay's book, and I opened it up, and sure enough, lupus, an autoimmune disease, like many of the autoimmune diseases, had to do with overachievers, people who were trying to seek approval. I was a workaholic, and it manifested itself after years and years with lupus. And once I stepped back and didn't work a zillion hours a week and didn't forfeit, family interaction with work, and achieving, then I got well. And as Elaine knows, I have pretty much not tested positive in almost 9 years. So you can heal yourself by changing what you do to yourself and the way you think about yourself. I no longer seek approval. I just seek self-satisfaction from the work I do. So it was a big change, and miraculously the disease went away. And the doctors are still trying to figure out what I did.
There's that word, miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we have a mutual friend, Linda, that was so crippled up with lupus that her husband had to make a spoon, a special spoon for her to hold. And when she figured out what was going on in her life and had been for many, many years, the lupus is gone. So this body-mind thing is very powerful.
Well, I guess the classic, in a situation where most people can better relate. Lupus is kind of an abstract for many people. Cancer is not. And I guess the biggest question has always been plaguing the medical community is, two patients, similar symptoms, similar treatment, one lives, one dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's now being shown that it had to do with family support, the attitude of the patient, the kind of belief system they had, the connection with spirituality that they had, major factors in who lives and who dies. Now, granted, if it's your time, it's your time, but it's also an opportunity to transition where you can take yourself, once again, we're talking about transition, taking yourself from a place of pain, discomfort, and illness, and putting yourself into health by believing it's possible, by doing what's necessary to make the changes that your body is craving in order to regenerate itself. We have that kind of power.
And most
hear about
people
these
are,
stories all the time.
And a lot of people are afraid of the power.
Terrified.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, in our society, once again, we are taught, don't ride your bicycle, stay away from the stove. We are ingrained as children to fear things. Don't go in the dark. It's granted, there's safety. There is caution. But what happens is it becomes so ingrained that it manifests itself as adult, young adult fears. And these fears cripple us. And on my website, I do, talk about which one do you want to be, fear-based or love-based. It's really that simple. It's a matter of transcending and letting go, and here comes the letting go again, of concepts that no longer serve you. You're 40 years old. Stop being afraid of the dark. It's not serving you anymore. So when you say, how do you let go? You look at it and you say, how is this enriching my life? And 9.9 times out of 10, those fears are crippling your life, not enriching it. So you can, once again, step one, intellectualize. But at least this is an intellectual argument that makes some sense on where you are and your day-to-day life. It's really that simple.
There's that word simple again.
Yes. We make it complicated, Elaine. You and I both know that.
I'm the queen at making things complicated.
Well, my mother always said I had a clear head. So the idea was I would oversimplify. And honestly, I think it served me very well because when I was 17, I didn't realize that architects don't hire 17-year-olds. So I went around with my portfolio at 17 because I had some my drafting work from high school, and I went with a completely clear head that there was no fear that someone would say no to me. Went through it with a vengeance of absoluteness, and in one day got thrown out of about 10 architectural offices, some laughing as I left, but finally determined, because I just didn't understand the concept that I could not be hired. By the end of the day, I landed a job in an architect's office at 17. So with this kind of quote-unquote clear-headedness, which means that you're not allowing fear, doubt, or other people's mess or preconceptions to get in your way, it's amazing what you can accomplish.
Power of determination. Power of determination. So we've talked about letting go. We've talked about mourning through the release and the idea of letting go. Spoke of the death card. Didn't look at the tower card. The tower card talks about getting rid of things that you don't need in your life.
So as I affectionately put it, the crash and burn card.
The crash and burn card, right. For those folks out there that are not familiar with tarot cards, it shows one tower, has a black background. It shows one tower with windows in it, and a man and a woman are being tossed out, going down to the ground head first, and there are little golden things, leafy-looking things that are called heos, which is another word for God. And it has a crown chakra that looks like it's being tossed out, being zapped by what looks like a lightning strike, which represents the Ten of Pentacles, the Kabbalah card. But the basis for this card is getting rid of things and people and so forth, attitudes that you don't need in your life, which is, I consider it a transitional card, because once we get rid of it, once we get rid of those things that we don't need in our lives, either on purpose.
We create room.
We create room for good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to say, you want a new couch? Get rid of the old one.
Right.
Sit on the floor
for a
while.
And the other thing, too, is the only exception I'm being really careful about, Elaine, I've become very conscious, and I know you are, too, to get rid of the word good and bad. There is no good and bad. There's experiences. When you repeat experiences that don't serve you, they become negative patterns. Now, people are saying, oh, you're just playing semantics. No, I'm not. Because once we get the stigma off what you do in your life, you do a lot less beating yourself up, which is also not necessary. It's the idea of once again being aware, you know, I did something. It didn't really serve me. I'm not going to do it again. It's a lot different. But, oh, I'm such a moron, I made a mistake.
Yeah, and sometimes even if we do it again, I think it's because we feel like, well, maybe we didn't do it right the first time.
Exactly.
Don't try it again.
But the idea, once again, is the idea that it kind of takes punishment out of the equation. And the less negativity surrounded around an opportunity or a challenge, the more chance we have of getting through it with less anxiety and a less detriment. And words play a very important part of how we manifest our happiness, because it's less to have to undo.
I fully believe in the power of words, the spoken word and the written word.
And the mental thought.
And even
equally
starting
as powerful.
With the mental thought.
Energy takes all forms.
Yes, it does. And you start, and I've told people before, they'll say, well, I've got this idea for an invention. And I say, well, once you've thought about it, you can bet somebody else is, so you better get a patent. Started. Because once, it's like somebody said there are no new ideas. They're all up there. But once we pull it down into our reality, other people can see it, hear it, feel it, smell it. And if it had
ever
been...
Well, that's the concept of collective consciousness.
Right. And if you don't claim it, let's say it's that invention, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you have it, write it down and get moving on it, or you'll lose the opportunity, and the sooner the better. People think I'm crazy when I tell them that, but I've seen it happen too many times. And that's part of that transition of our own life in taking responsibility for that idea and bringing it into manifestation. That's that word that you were talking about a while ago, responsibility.
Right. So and the idea of knowing that, to not be afraid of that power and to use it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Very often, you know, like I said, it all goes back to being afraid, pure and simple.
Being afraid.
If you go through life afraid, you limit yourself, you limit your growth, you limit your opportunity, you limit the joys that are given to you. And the other thing is,
Elaine,
you talk about abundance, the same thing.
I'm sorry, I stepped on your words. Go ahead.
Okay.
Say it again.
The other idea is that of abundance. You know, people are fearing there's not going to be enough. You can't share. It's limitless. And that concept is kind of scary. But none of these are. They're there for us for the taking because we woke up this morning.
Let's talk about that in just a second. This is Elaine Ireland. You're going global for spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. My guest tonight is Kat Avino, and if you were expecting Kramer Wetzel, I apologize, but there has been a death in his family. We're going to reschedule. But in the meantime, Kat is with us tonight. We've been talking about transitions of all kinds and a little bit of scattering of other concepts. So go back to what you were just saying.
Well, the idea about abundance, I mean, we're also taught not to be greedy. And unfortunately, the term greedy has been applied to abundance. Also, the concept that abundance has to be earned. And like I said, I stay away from Bible thumping, but basically, so many of the Proverbs speak about ask and you shall receive. You just have to ask. It's all there already waiting for us, not the other way around. And when we do heal and when we do focus our intent, we receive. And it's happened hundreds of times, but once again, that's a very scary concept that there's a big universe and all this stuff is going to manifest. It's not tangible. And people like to touch things and see them and feel them. So when we overcome that fear of the unknown, we can tap into that powerful unknown and manifest, meaning bring into creation what our hearts desire. People say, well, I wanted this, this, and this. There's a little reminder, you know, like a little notification on this one. You don't always get what you want, and sometimes it's a real good thing. So the idea is to be careful what you wish for because you might get it. You have that kind of power. And a lot of times you will not get something because you're not supposed to. And that's where the trust and the patience and the faith comes in. And if anyone ever takes the time to look back at why did it take me so long to get this thing, whatever this thing is, if you take the time to look at what you needed to handle that thing, it was the experiences that led you up to the outcome. It's just a matter of taking the time out to really take a hard look at what you've done, how you've done it, and how it's benefited or, you know, harmed you in some way. But it's all about growth. It's all about learning lessons. And a lot of them do, in fact, suck. But what are you going to do? It is what it is.
It is what it is. We have about two more minutes before Seth whispers sweet nothings in my ear and makes us go away. So anything else you want to tell us this evening or a question you want to ask the world to think about?
I guess, like I said, I think every person who steps into this metaphysical world, so to speak, kind of comes along with something that is given to them from the get-go. And I guess this is what I would like to leave everybody with. How do you choose, and you have that power, to live your life? Fear-based or love-based? It's your choice. You can go through life being afraid of choices, afraid of circumstances, and live in fear of what if, or love what's out there and bring more of it to you with compassion and kindness. It will happen.
Bringing it to you with compassion and kindness. I like that image. I like
you know,
that.
You know, both our words are usually, if not always, guided by spirit. So this is what I'm hearing as we're speaking.
That's good. Again, you can find her in Brooklyn, New York. When's your next fair? Are you doing a fair in the New York area?
No, it's not until, let's see, we're in, not until November, possibly. But I would also like to get a volunteer phone number, which is easy to get a hold of me. I will answer questions, but not through readings on the phone without a booking. And my number is 516-225-8054. And you can review my website at catsangeleyes.com. And I look forward to helping anyone who will trust me and give me an opportunity to help you make your transition.
Whatever they may be these days. Folks, this has been Going Global for Spirit on bbsradio.com. Thank you, Kat, so much for having been with us, especially at this last minute. I literally got her as she was leaving her party this evening. So I'm
always honored that you put this kind of faith in me, Elaine. And Elaine was my mentor. If anybody knew about transitions, it was Elaine with me kicking and screaming through every single one of them.
You and your guides have done a beautiful job of getting you to be the wonderful psychic and medium that you've become these days. And we're all doing it. We never stop. We keep growing, folks out there.
No, and like I said, you know, there's many times where you and I have switched roles as teacher, student, which is awesome.
Yep. That's the way it's supposed to be.
And like I said, you are a teacher, a mentor, and just a lovely human being.
Oh, thank you. It works both ways. And world out there, just because you were the teacher one day doesn't mean you can't be the student the next. And that's so, so important, and that's the way it should be. Share yourself as you go through your transitions, be they personal, for love, for money, for changes of job, locations of living, or the death of a loved one. It's all necessary, whether we like it or not. It's all necessary. In the meantime, don't forget to share a smile with the world. We will have Michelle Avante with us next week, and Kat. We'll talk Kat into coming back with us soon.
Be my
Thank
pleasure.
You, Kat,
Take
so much.
Care.
Good night, world. Say good night, Kat.
God bless. Be well.
Bye-bye, folks.